You're listening to SBS News.
The Australian Council of Social Service and other community sector groups have used a virtual forum to set out the policies they say will reduce poverty and improve equality across the nation. Chief among them is for the next federal government to permanently raise the rate of JobSeeker and other income support payments like youth allowance to at least $70 per day. ACOS Chief Executive Dr. Cassandra Goldie says it will transform society.
There is such broad consensus across the community sector about the need to fix the adequacy of income support, in particular JobSeeker, as a key cause of the level of poverty that's being experienced, including amongst, for example, single parents, older women, people with a disability.
The JobSeeker base rate is currently around $46 a day. The coalition government boosted the payment last February by about $50 per fortnight after rolling back the coronavirus supplement, which had temporarily lifted thousands of Australians out of poverty, but hasn't signalled plans to increase it further. Asked by Dr. Goldie what Labor's position on raising the payment is, Assistant Treasury spokesman Dr. Andrew Lee revealed his party has no plans to lift it should it win government. And he says the ALP has also dropped a policy it took to the 2019 election to hold an independent review into the rate.
We haven't committed to an additional increase. I'm aware that an increase took place. It was a modest increase put in place. But certainly living on JobKeeper living on JobSeeker is a challenge. There's no doubt about that. And that's one of the reasons why we need to make sure we're also thinking about areas such as rent assistance and the adequacy of social housing. It's that whole package.
Labor is promising to increase the supply of social and affordable housing by 30,000 properties over 5 years. But that falls short of what community sector groups are calling for to adequately address the housing crisis. And the housing policy that the coalition's taking to the election is so far focusing on helping people to buy property. Advocacy group Everybody's Home is calling on the incoming government to pledge to build 25,000 social housing properties a year in partnership with the states and territories, increase rent assistance payments by 50%, and commit to a plan to end homelessness by 2035. Spokeswoman Kate Colvin says while rental affordability has been getting worse over the last couple of years across the board, prices have increased the most for people on low incomes.
The fact is that we've got rents that have been increasing much faster than low wages, and particularly at that cheaper end of the rental market. So it's just not profitable for developers to build and supply low-cost rentals into the market anymore. And so what that means is that there's just not enough low-cost rentals in the market, and really fierce competition then for the low-cost rentals that are there, which of course then means the price of them gets bid up and they become less low-cost than they were.
Self-determination for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people is another key area community groups are demanding improvements in. If Labor wins the election, it's committed to hold a referendum on an Indigenous voice to Parliament within its first term of government, consulting with First Nations people about the timing and detail of the poll. While the coalition is also committed to recognising Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in the constitution, it is yet to set a date. The Uluru Statement from the Heart leadership says a referendum should be held on one of two significant dates for First Nations people, the 27th of May 2023 or the 27th of January 2024. Cobble Cobble woman Professor Megan Davis is co-chair of the Uluru Dialogue.
The issue is really clear for us, and that is we are not at the table when laws and policies are made about our communities and our lives. It's a really fundamental point that Australians are connecting with and have for 5 years. You know, the most recent absurd example of this is the rollout of the vaccine, where nobody in the Commonwealth bureaucracy thought for 1 second, or the state and territories, that you needed an Indigenous person at the table. And this is after closing the gap iteration number two. was negotiated.
Sophie Trevitt is Executive Director of First Nations-led justice organisation Change the Record. She says addressing the systemic drivers of disadvantage among Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities also needs to be a priority of the next government.
Those are things like decent, affordable housing, social security payments that are above the poverty line, that First Nations legal and family violence prevention services are adequately funded, and specific measures around justice reform and Black deaths in custody. And what we saw from the budget was that none of these key areas were addressed in any sort of meaningful way.
And while refugees and asylum seekers aren't eligible to vote, those who can are being urged to consider their plight at the ballot box. Advocacy manager at the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre, Oggie Simic, says the organisation's four main areas of policy focus are protection, freedom, safety and humanity.
All people in Australia should have access to safety nets and mainstream social support, but tens of thousands of people seeking asylum in Australia are prevented from mainstream social support such as Centrelink, housing assistance and family reunion, with some having limited access to Medicare and work rights.
Other key policies the groups are calling for the next government to commit to are stronger climate action and disaster management, improving access to permanent and stable employment, and the guaranteed provision of quality essential services like aged care and dental. The coalition was invited to participate in the policy forum hosted by ACOS, but declined. Amy Hall, SBS News. We'll be right back.